This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Shao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa. So earlier we looked at the ILO Convention on Violence and Harassment in the Workplace and the implications of Malaysia abstaining from that international vote. And now we'll be moving on to our second story. And on that note, we're asking you on Twitter,
when do you think it is appropriate to speak to children about safe and unsafe touch? Mm. So 72% of you voted that it should be done during kindergarten, with 22% of you voting for primary school, and 3% saying that it should be up to the schools, and 2% of you saying that we don't speak about it.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So overwhelmingly, feel that the kindergarten age is appropriate to start talking to children about this.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can continue to share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us anything at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 0377-332900.
So how do you teach your child what is safe when it comes to being touched? The reason that we are discussing this today is because yesterday the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development launched a YouTube ad campaign on what is safe touch for children. So according to the Minister, Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail, who's also the Deputy Prime Minister, she said that children need to be taught what is safe touch and bad touch at an early age. And she said that the messages in these YouTube videos are to help children identify signs of danger that should be reported. So just want to give you a sense of what these videos are like. We'll be playing the audio from one of them. Just bear with us. It's about a minute long.
Ini Dave. Setiap petang, selepas sekolah, Dave akan mengulang kaji pelajarannya bersama Abang Man, seorang tutor. Tetapi, Abang Man mempunyai niat yang tidak baik terhadap Dave. Abang Man ini mengambil kesempatan dan meraba Dave. Dave kemudian menjerit dan melarikan diri dari Abang Man. Kemudian memberitahu Cikgu Ain mengenai kejadian tersebut. Lalu, Cikgu Ain menelefon 999 untuk melaporkan kejadian tersebut kepada pihak berkuasa. Akhirnya, Abang Mai berjaya ditangkap oleh polis. Ingat ya adik-adik, jika ada sesiapa menyentuh di mana-mana bahagian badan adik-adik, jerit dan lari. Kemudian, beritahu kepada ibu bapa atau penjaga mengenai kejadian tersebut.
So that was one of the videos as under this YouTube ad campaign that was just launched.
Mm. Yeah, so this campaign is actually 5 1-minute animated videos, and they each touch on different scenarios of sexual harassment, just to name them. One is with about a teacher, about an uncle, about a flasher in the park, and even a boy trying to touch a girl. Mm-hmm. So these videos are will air as ads on YouTube. And the point of this, the takeaway message from it is that children must shout for help, run away and tell someone, because they always say jerit, lari dan beritahu at the end of each of these clips.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of it, they also provide the talian kasih 15999 as well as the helpline 999. And these numbers are for children or their caregivers to report anything that they think would be an offence.
Mm-hmm. And so here are, you know, there are some of the messages in the ads include sexual predators, maybe people in a child's life. So it could be your relative or even a person you trust or perhaps even a friend. And the predators will try to touch you in an inappropriate sexual manner or try to take nude pictures of you. So the videos also use the term kemaluan in Bahasa, which refers to the genitals. And 4 of the videos actually focus on girls being molested, and one even features a boy being molested.
I have an issue with them using the term kemaluan.
Yeah.
So overall, the approach of the ads is it feels very much like it's a blunt instrument approach. They've basically taken, in theory, the aspects of sexual abuse of children, and they've turned that into a 1-minute video in animated form. It's a very straightforward narrative.
Yeah.
It features this villain who will try to touch your genitals, so you should tell your parents, and your parents will call the police, and then action will be taken.
Mm.
So, you know, it's it's almost simplistic, that the way that they send that message. And there's also one of the videos, as you said, Suan, earlier, it's about a boy trying to touch a girl. So it's actually, they look like peers, actually. A young boy tries to kiss and touch a young girl, and she gets so outraged, she screams and runs away, and she tells her friend, she tells her mom, who then calls the police on this boy. Yeah. And presumably what they're trying to explore or talk about there is consent. But it doesn't really fully engage in the issue of consent and respect that should be done in a proper way, that you would do it in proper comprehensive sexual education. This one just sends a message, you know, any kind of touching is taboo. They use terms like zon larangan sentuh in the video, which is like, and then they show this illustration of different parts of the body that are your zon larangan, you know. So again, just a very, very simplified approach. I do understand that these videos are for children. I get it. But I'm not sure how this kind of, cartoonish and very basic approach would really properly educate children in the way it's supposed to.
And it's, I mean, when I watched the videos the first day, and I know this is wrong, but the videos look somewhat comedic in nature. It doesn't capture the seriousness of the issue. And then again, going back to what you said, it's only a minute. It's such a complex topic that they just compressed it into such a short amount of time.
Yeah. And I think also, you might have heard earlier when you played the clip, it starts off with a bit of a brighter music, and then turns into this like kind of dark villainy sound, and kind of goes back a bit in some of the videos to this happier sound as well. So it's a bit weird to watch it when it has that tone.
It's very theatrical when you think about it. It's just that all the other elements that went into that video.
So, you know, with all of those questions in mind, I spoke earlier today to Mariza Abdulkadir. She's the executive director of PS The Children, to get her response to this ad campaign. So here's that conversation. So Mariza, what were your thoughts on the video, the ad campaign that was just launched by the ministry yesterday? Any initial thoughts on the videos and the messages that they're trying to send out?
I think I commend the government for taking the initiative to come up with videos to educate children on child sexual abuse, or rather on the prevention of child sexual abuse. And I give kudos to them for the efforts for, you know, coming out with a whole bunch of videos to do this.
Okay, so in the bigger picture, how useful is an ad campaign like this in terms of helping to protect children from sexual abuse?
Well, the videos by themselves, I think it's, like I said, it's a very good initiative by the government to do something, and I appreciate what they're doing. But I think it's advisable only because the videos are very, well, it looks and appears to be quite simple and simplistic, perhaps because they were aiming it with children. But I suggest that parents actually sit down and talk to their children before allowing them to watch the videos. Because you must understand that videos, they affect children very differently than it does adults. Mm-hmm. And the understanding is very different. So while we can kind of make sense of it, children actually take things, number one, quite literally, and number two, when their understanding of the videos is very, very different from that of an adult. And because they perceive things so differently, the takeaway from these videos may not be quite what was intended to be. And while they I really commend them for the efforts in coming out of the videos, my concern is that they would be taken quite differently from the idea, the original intention of having the videos in the first place. You know, if people really want to make videos, for children, I encourage them to really, you know, get expert advice or opinions before they actually go and do something like that. Again, the initiative is really good. But perhaps the information, some of it, the way in which it was presented may not be the most accurate.
So I'd like to touch on one of the videos to perhaps to try to flesh out that idea. There was one about consent. A young boy trying to kiss a young girl. Could there be pitfalls in the way that that message was delivered? Is it really teaching children about consent?
I think that's what I mean in general, because the videos, I think they tried very hard to put it into this kind of very simple format.
Mm-hmm.
Again, at the end of the day, the message may not actually be getting through to the children in the way that it was intended. That's why I said that it's very important that parents actually sit down, view the videos first, get a proper understanding of what the message is that's being sent, and then only have a talk with the children and view the videos with the children. So don't just give it to them and, kind of let them figure it out. Really sit down and watch the video together with the children, with the mm-hmm. child, and then talk to them about mm-hmm. it. I think it's very important that they get the correct message across. Generally, it's not just that video, but all the videos, while they are focusing a lot on the good message behind it,
mm-hmm.
My concern again is that the children's takeaway from it will be very different from the intention.
And what do we...
Including the one that you mentioned.
Mm. So what do we want the children to take away from it?
I think it's not just the children. The children, it's about keeping themselves safe. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but they won't know. It's about getting everyone educated, both adults as well as children. The best way in terms of preventing child sexual abuse, really, it's about creating the kind of relationship mm-hmm. with the child that the adult can have with the child, where the child feels safe
mm-hmm.
To talk to the parent, to be able to trust that they can say anything to the parent without getting any kind of hostile or defensive reaction from them.
Mm.
To have an open communication with a child, to have really like no judgment, to be able to listen to a child and believe the child for at face value
mm.
for whatever it is that they're telling you. And then to understand that everything that we say and the way in which we say it, even as in a form of reaction to the child, has an impact on them. It absolutely has an impact. So in terms of these videos, that's why it's important to have a chat mm-hmm. with them and then watch the videos and explain it very carefully and clearly to the children.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, you want to be able to work on that kind of relationship
mm-hmm.
with your child where they feel that they can just tell you anything and not have you be angry with them or defensive and they will shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because then they learn, I'm not going to be able to say it. So I think the message I would like you to pass on to the listeners today would be, get children to a place where they can talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way to prevent child sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to be safe, to trust you, to be able to talk to you about anything, and that a child, that is okay for them to do that.
And when it comes to teaching children what is safe and unsafe touching, what are the general principles? How do parents talk to children about that? How do you help them make the distinction between what's right and not?
I think it comes from a space of what makes them feel uncomfortable, what makes them feel not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to just saying, well, they can't touch you here, they can't touch you here. We've actually had cases before when information is passed incorrectly to children, that children come out even after, say, a father has hugged a child or kissed a child and say, oh, that was not a safe kiss and, you're not supposed to touch me, you're not supposed to hold me and so on. And that's just, this is healthy affection, healthy expression of love
mm-hmm.
between a parent and a child, and that was taken wrongly. So I think it's a matter of, again, having a conversation and just saying, if this makes you feel uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
then say no. Run mm-hmm. and tell somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially to a parent whom they trust. But essentially it's about, anything, any touch or anything, anywhere where it feels unsafe or uncomfortable, where you don't want it or you don't like it,
mm-hmm.
come and tell somebody.
Okay. And this campaign seems to be focusing on sexual predators who are people that children should be able to trust, family members or people in positions of trust and authority. So when it comes to the legal framework to protect children, we have the Sexual Offences Against Children Act of 2017, very recent. Mm. How does that act strengthen protection for children against these kinds of predators, caregivers, people in positions of trust?
Well, the first thing I must say about SOAC, which is Sexual Offences Against Children Act 2017, is it is such a fabulous thing to have happened to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, just even before the prevention aspect, yeah, we couldn't even get convictions when perpetrators said that they did something they shouldn't have, mm-hmm. even when they admitted to a crime, to doing these awful things to children, they still couldn't be convicted mm-hmm. because of the technicality of terms used prior to the SOAC Act. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now with this act, what it does is, especially in terms of prevention, it's given the authorities much, much more to cover in which it can charge the perpetrator with. The most important is the act of grooming, both online as well as offline,
mm-hmm.
which means that we now have more laws that we can apply to charge a person with for something like grooming. Because, you know, 94% of, or 96% of all cases of child sexual abuse are actually from someone they know and trust.
Mm-hmm.
So this is predator hunting on the grounds among people who trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not stranger danger kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is people they know, that children know and they trust.
Mm-hmm.
So having something like an act where it helps to prevent or charge someone with grooming helps to prevent the act in the first place, because now they know that we can come after you for something like grooming, which is a vital, vital aspect of child sexual abuse. Absolutely necessary. And I think, you know, well done to the government for coming up with that.
Moving forward, what else should we be doing to continue to strengthen this ecosystem around children?
I think it's about, at the end of the day, making the system a lot more child-friendly, understanding children, what's the best interest of the child, understanding how they think and feel and how they may or may not react to situations, and really just getting lots of education about it. You know, so we have a system where there are, I mean, like in any system in the world, yeah, nothing is perfect in this mm-hmm. country or anywhere else. So we just need to be able to fill in the gaps and strengthen the procedures a bit. Perhaps to make it a lot more child-sensitive or more child-friendly. And at the same time, parents just go out there and just get themselves educated, whether it be from us, protect and save the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be from us or other people like us who are in the child protection line, just get themselves educated on ways that they can prevent the child from any kind of unwarranted behavior. And I don't just mean child sexual abuse. I also can mean something like bullying,
mm-hmm.
violence, addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. So get self-educated and let the government as well and the rest of us advocates go out there and try to change policies and hopefully tighten procedures in the process.
So that was Mariza Abdulkadir, the executive director of PS the Children. And she really made a lot of important points about how empowering children to protect themselves from sexual abuse is not about any sort of one-off strategies.
Mm.
It's about parents establishing a strong relationship of trust with their children,
yeah.
so that children know that at any time when something has happened to them that makes them feel uncomfortable, they can go to their parents and
yeah.
talk openly about it without any judgment.
Mm.
And also for parents, I did ask Mariza about this. How do you even have that conversation with your kids about what is safe touch, what is not? Teaching them about the names of genitals, perhaps. So getting them to know their own body so that they can identify when something is mm-hmm. wrong. We did do a Health News Digest show about this last year. And we spoke to the regular developmental pediatrician that comes on to BFM, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan. So she actually gave some really useful tips about how parents can talk to children about safe touch. So if you want to download that podcast, just search for What Lurks in the Dark. That was the title of that podcast. Mm. What did you think about the video?
The videos. What struck me was that it's so simple, right? It's 1 minute and it's just, okay, don't touch this part and that part. Whereas when it comes to sexual harassment, almost anything can cross over into that. So someone could be touching you on your hips, your stomach, even your arm. And, you know, depending on the context, that is harassment. And again, it's such a complex issue that's not covered in the video. And that's something kids needs to know, because a predator can just be touching you and the kid wouldn't get the context of what's going on.
Yeah. And the other part that's not covered in any of these videos is grooming. Mm. So the process of a sexual predator gaining the trust of a child is as black and white as this person is a villain. They never act like a villain. That's the whole problem in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's what I found problematic with the videos as well. They kind of portrayed the sexual predator, so to speak, as a villain. It's a very stereotypical villain in a cartoon with the music and the expression. It kind of just makes it a bit too simple again. Like it doesn't justify how it actually happens in real life.
And do we have any comments on social media?
So we have an anonymous WhatsApp. So someone saying that, "I was fortunate that my mother taught me when I was young that no one has a right to my body. When I was molested by my uncle at 9 years old, I was scolded that I was only a child, not knowing that he was just teasing. But I was also scolded for being an anak dara or young girl, and I should know my place and how to behave appropriately around men. So if it weren't for my mom and my sister, I would have still thought that I was at fault for reporting about him because he was family."
So the social cultural norms that we have to contend with are also a complicating factor, I think, when it comes to addressing sexual abuse. And it does seem that it just has to be about constant conversations and teaching children about... sex education is something that has never gotten a good start in our country. And I hope that things like this, when we have conversations about child sexual abuse, we can open the door to bigger conversations about sex education, proper sex education, to teach children about what is the role of sexuality and relationship in their life, you know.
And there is also the fact that, like you said, Suwen, they are portrayed as such, they are villains, right? That they are portrayed in such a stereotypical way, whereas in reality, it could be someone you really know, you really trust. It doesn't necessarily have to have that creepy vibe that the video tried to portray. They seem the most normal person. They seem like someone you completely trust.
Yeah. And at the same time, as our listener texted on WhatsApp, we are conditioned to feel shame about speaking up about it. So again, coming back to what kind of values that we are, you know, that we have to abide by in our society, and how is that going to be an obstacle those are obstacles in terms of us trying to address sexual abuse of children. Maybe just a quick check on our poll.
Yes, so we were asking you on Twitter, when do you think it is appropriate to speak to children about safe and unsafe touch? So 73% of you voted that it should be spoken about in kindergarten. 22% of you voted primary school, with 3% saying that it's up to the schools and 2% saying that we don't speak about it.
Okay, yep. So that seems to be a good indication that people do feel that children are vulnerable at a very young age, and therefore that is the right age to start having these kinds of conversations with them.
And I mean, when I think about what the ministry was trying to get across in terms of the approach that they took. So, I mean, if they wanted to take a creative approach with their content, I think one way they can do that is to also try and engage our local filmmakers. Because if you watch some of our latest films, we have taken a more socially conscious approach. And I think if that's something that they would like to do, that would be the best way to go. Engage our local filmmakers for that. You know, if you want to take that that if you wanted kids to look at it in that way and digest it properly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And also we always say if you're going to target something to children, you have to either work with young people themselves or work with groups that know how to communicate with young people rather than talking down to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's all the time we have for this story. You can keep the conversation going. Tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or check us out on Facebook on our page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, Shamila Gunnison will be speaking to Raoul, Christine and the Phantom of the Opera, or rather the cast members of the stage performance that's arrived here in KL. You've been listening to The Daily Digest, and we leave you with Wilco with If I Ever Was a Child, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.